It was customary to take only one wife, unless she was unable to have children, in which case a second wife could be taken by a husband. Although he could also use another way of resolving the problem, adoption. We know that there are many records of adoptions. Often a family member, say a nephew or a cousin, or some friend's child would be adopted. Slaves were an accepted part of Mesopotamian life, and they were acquired in many ways. As prisoners of war, infants bought from parents in times of financial crisis. But most of the slaves who are recorded were enslaved because they were paying off a debt. So someone who needed a loan would offer themselves, their family, as surety for the loan. And when they fell behind, they would be enslaved to pay off with the labor necessary to complete the loan. Theoretically, this debt slavery could be temporary, but we know that in fact it was very difficult for those who had been enslaved for debt to work their way out without some legal recourse. Families of slaves are known, and they were sold and separated. Children of a slave woman could be sold at very young ages. This multi-generational household resulted in very flexible house plans, with rooms added when necessary or affordable. And archaeologists can trace the history of a house by alterations to the plan. So when a family expands or acquires more land, the house gets bigger. Now, what we can't know is whether the same family stayed in the house or whether some other family came in, bought the house, and then expanded it to suit their own needs. A typical house plan is arranged around an open courtyard in the center of the house, which would provide light and air. The purpose of the rooms off of this courtyard usually can't be identified from the plans of the house, the floor plans, or even the remains, because houses would be cleared out when they were sold or rebuilt, just like today. And so there are very few objects that help us understand what went on in the different rooms. There are two exceptions to this rule. The first is weaving, which usually occurred in the courtyard of the house, so the weaver would have access to light and air during the process. We find weaving implements in the corners of the courtyard. So, for example, loom weights, which would be used to hold the wool to keep it taut at the back of the loom while the weaver was creating a textile. Loom weights are a common find for archaeologists, and so that helps us identify where weaving would take place. The second exception to room identification is that we can usually figure out where the kitchen was because the ground is blackened by fire. Houses could be either owned or rented, and we have a rental agreement from the 5th century BC that notes that the tenant was also a builder. He received a reduced rent in exchange for repairs he contracted to make on the building during his tenancy. If the tenant did not complete the repairs, he would have to pay the full rate. So the landlord must have been very excited that he could get this professional to spruce up the place during the year that he was also receiving rent. The titles of many different local officials are preserved, but it can be quite challenging to understand their specific responsibilities and duties. The mayor was the leader of the court, and he often appeared as a witness in lawsuits. The office of mayor is one of those positions that archaeologists wish we knew more about, what a mayor actually did. It seems to be quite different than what mayors do today, but the term is best translated as mayor. The mayor is frequently listed as responsible specifically for prosecuting theft. One text states that a mayor was a middleman collecting taxes from his people and then sending them on to some other authority, usually the palace or perhaps a regional governor. And this text that records this duty of the mayor was actually from a lawsuit in which the mayor was accused of embezzling those funds. And so now the governor of the province was threatening to bring his army to attack the people in order to compel them to pay the taxes that had been embezzled by the mayor.